The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
It is great to have you with us. We'll talk more about Pac-12 Media Days a little bit later. More of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. And let's check out Victor in Florida. Hello, Victor.
Hey, how are you doing,
Paul? We are doing great. Thank you.
I used to, when I was younger, drive through Alabama to meet my relatives in Mississippi, and I would try to pick up your show. The one time I did get it, it was 9 minutes of a Auburn fan going on about Auburn. And of course, I was born in Alabama, so I'm an Alabama fan. So I was like, you got to be kidding me. But I used to always try to pick up your show when I drove through the state.
Well, thank you.
I have kind of a list of the top color commentators for college football.
Right.
And I think there's some things that ESPN could do better.
Okay.
As far as who they're on and who they're not. Obviously, Gary Danielson's the best. He's been doing it for so long, and he worked with the legend Vern Lundquist. And Vern Lundquist, you interviewed him, and he had an incredible statement to describe how to be a great commentator, which was use an economy of words.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was ideal for how to measure color commentators and play-by-play guys. And so, you know, Danielson's still at the top, but I sense some exhaustion with him with SEC, you know, Alabama, Georgia teams. I sense some of that in until you get to the playoff games. I know people have Kirk Herbstreit up there. But I think he's really fallen off the last couple of years. And the only time I see or feel any energy out of him is when he's calling an Ohio State game. So I'm not saying he's a homer, but he doesn't seem to have the same energy during the
regular season. Hey, by the way, Victor, if I could add my commentary, you would make a great sports media critic. You're far better than most of the dudes covering the media right now. I mean, agree or disagree, that's not even the issue. I like the way you get right to your point.
Well, I have Asperger's syndrome, so it's a form of high-functioning autism, which means I'm not good at social communication, so I have to listen closely
right.
to other people and learn what is good communication. And listening to the color commentators is one way that it's helped me.
That's interesting.
In life.
Yeah, I have some vague familiarity with what you deal with. And there's a great, there's such a great misunderstanding of the variations of autism. And I appreciate your honesty there because it can help other people who are listening who may not feel as comfortable discussing it.
Yeah, I've learned that honesty is the best. So just let it out there, and if people understand, that's great, and if they don't, that's okay too.
Well, so you feel like Danielson is slipping. Herbstreit is, and by the way, one more thing about Herbstreit, which I'm sure you know. This year, in addition to doing the Saturday night game and game day that morning, you also know he's doing NFL Thursday night for Amazon.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people in NFL circles who are highly skeptical of that.
Well, he reminds me of, I saw this with the former Cowboys quarterback, Troy
Aikman.
Troy Aikman. I saw it last year on TV. He seemed like he was just going through the motions. But then when he called games in the playoffs, he was jacked up. You know, he was all over it. So I thought it was very interesting to see the difference between, it's like over time they get used to calling games during the season and they just There's no energy there. I do want to say that the rocket that's coming up the charts that is at ESPN and that is in the SEC network is Jordan Rogers. I think he is by far the best young commentator I've heard. He, even his predictions were perfect last year. He predicted Alabama to win the SEC championship game.
You're absolutely right.
And the only other guy I remember doing that was an Alabama alumni. And he predicted them to win the title until Williamson went down. And so after that, he at halftime, he said, I don't see any way Alabama wins the game. And I think he's brilliant. He's learned to use an economy of words. And he's with a great team with Hart and Kubelik. So they've really become kind of, to me, the stars. I would watch them call Vanderbilt and University of Ohio game just because they're on the call. And the two most underrated guys that you have that they're not using on the SEC network are Andre Ware and Tom Luganville. Mm-hmm. And Andre Ware is so knowledgeable, former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And he's so smooth and it's almost elegant in his delivery.
Right.
And then Luganville is so knowledgeable because not only does he have the knowledge of a quarterback who played in college football, but he has the knowledge of the guy who's been that covering high school recruiting for years. So he has a different depth of knowledge of players. And I remember when they put McElroy on the ABC lead a couple years ago, and they put Luganville on the field, and I thought they had it backwards. Because McElroy is the Hubie Brown of college football. He has not learned to use an economy of words. And I'm an Alabama fan, but he has not figured it out yet.
Victor, if someone at ESPN or any network is listening to you right now, don't be surprised if they don't try to hire you. You are what I would describe as a brilliant analyst of talent.
Well, I've got more to say, but I don't want to take up all your time.
No, take your time. Listen, I am being entertained by you, so the audience can just take a breather for a minute. I want to keep listening.
Well, I thought the worst analyst they had was Dan Orlovsky, and he was on for the first 4 or 5 weeks last year, and then they pulled him from games and put him in studio. And he's better in studio, but he's still not. I don't know why he's on the set. So he adds nothing to it, and he doesn't have the voice for TV. Those guys, Danielson, Herb Street, Jordan Rogers, they have a voice for TV, but they also have the energy and the knowledge, and Orlovsky just doesn't. And so my current, the current guy I would say that is the worst that they have on is Dusty Dvorak. He at least brings energy, but he lacks knowledge. The best non-quarterback analyst is John Stinchcomb. And when he first came on, he was like listening to, I compare it to like toast, plain toast. But he has learned so much. He studied so much.
Do you mean Matt Stinchcomb?
I'm sorry, Matt Stinchcomb.
I would tell you, I think Matt Stinchcomb is the smartest analyst at ESPN.
He is by far the best non-quarterback analyst. And I think he's underrated simply because of where he came from. Nobody expects an offensive tackle to be a great analyst, but he's brilliant. he's learned to bring some of his, he has kind of a sly sense of humor.
Oh, he's
learned
he's very
to bring
funny.
Some of that
time,
into it.
The times he sat with us here, he's, I'm a big fan of his. Well, I tell you what, Victor, you have done, you've entertained me, which, and I know all these people, and I wanted to hear more. So you keep calling, and I want to hear more from you as the season goes on.
Okay, I'll be happy to do that.
That was fantastic. I mean, I can't tell you, when you're sitting on this side and you know all these people, how analytical our friend there was, and how well he listens to nuance, because most people determine whether they like an announcer by who's winning the game. We'll take a short break. We have a long way to go. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So we got a tweet about our music industry question, and we'll keep sharing them throughout the afternoon. Good response. Yeah. Beyonce, now that Brett Yormark he was Beyonce and Jay-Z's former manager, is in the Big 12. I mean, why can't I be part of the Beyonce brigade? Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Ken is in Arkansas. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Given that college athletics has adopted this transfer portal, and now that athletes are able to be compensated for their likeness, how long is that going to take to run college athletics?
Probably not too long. The real concern, I think, is when it goes beyond this, and I think we are hearing some rumblings of it this week about revenue sharing. I mean, we are on the verge of professionalism here. And how does that impact the fans is really ultimately a question I cannot answer.
Well, given that Rob Walton just bought the Broncos,
right,
he's worth in excess of $50 billion with a B.
Pretty big.
And he calls Sam Pittman there in Fayetteville and says, "Hey, Sam, I'll give you a $50 million budget. Go hire you a team.
Well,
just get the best athletes in the country." Now, what's going to keep that from happening if it's not already?
Well, Ken, I can't answer whether it's happening. I know what rivals are saying, especially about basketball in Arkansas, and it is happening right now. It's all about how much money you have, and that's why Texas and Texas A&M got off to such a good start in recruiting once NIL went live.
Well, that's, you know, Saban has already accused Jimbo Fisher of doing exactly that. It's just, it's going to be professionalism before long.
Well, it really, interestingly, Ken, it really is already. It's just, that's why I don't mind if people are transparent, and Lane Kiffin was the other day, others were, but. You know, when these administrators try to get up there and talk about all the things that are no longer important, that's when I need to grab a barf bag. Not when this guy calls in, though. Jeff is up next in Columbus.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing, man? It's Friday.
Friday. What do you got going this weekend, Jeff? Anything important?
Oh, yeah. I'm taking the pontoon out for the weekend. Yeah, a little bit of lake time, Paul.
Oh my goodness, I envy that. I don't do the lakes because I'm a working stiff, but it must be nice.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't come up to the great state of Ohio. What's the weather forecast for Charlotte?
I think it's going to be 97 today.
Oh man, it's going to be like 82 and sunny with a light breeze all weekend, Paul. You should be up here riding on the 22-foot pontoon, the Bennington.
Well, I'll tell you what,
come on up.
I'm checking the airlines right now to see if I can get up there tomorrow morning.
Yeah, call a taxi right now, Paul. Hey, you know I'm a big fan of a media critic, don't you?
Yes.
That guy was a great call. I think he and I ought to have a media critique segment every week on the Feinbaum Show. We'll break it down like none other.
I like it. I mean, to me, it's part of what we do. If you can't handle the heat, you shouldn't be in the booth.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's exactly right. They're not afraid to rip on the coaches and the players. That's what I've always said. So somebody needs to be ripping on them when they're screwing up. There's a lot of great ones out there, Paul.
And,
but there's also a lot of them that deserve criticism. You know that.
People in the booth are some of the most thin-skinned people I've ever met. I took a shot at a well-known commentator a couple of years ago, two people, the entire booth, and I happened to be in a hotel gym a couple weeks later when one of them walked in, and I thought the guy was going to grab a weight and crack me over the head.
That's good. But that's what every coach tells their athlete. I'm going to be tough on you, but you can't take it personal.
No.
You know, I'm doing it because I want you to get better. And that's, these guys, they can't take any criticism.
No, they're insanely insecure.
Right. Hey, Paul, to change subject, did you put out a buy recommendation on Wall Street this week or what?
Yeah.
It's been a nice bounce back.
Yeah. I no longer am mortified to look at the financial pages anymore.
Yeah, I thought maybe you and your boys put out some buy recommendations. Whatever you did, keep doing it, my man. Hey, I heard that guy, you've given a tip about listening to yourself.
Right.
Maybe you ought to recommend, maybe you ought to force AC into doing that. Maybe it'll make him quit calling if he listens to himself.
Oh, man. He's sad, isn't he?
Yeah, I told you he belongs down in the Triple D League with Bama Nick. I think he's replaced Bama Nick as the worst caller on the show.
That's funny.
I mean, what do you think?
Well, Bama Nick's no longer really part of the show, so.
Yeah, but he wants to be, but you don't put him on.
Well, because, yeah, I don't mind a bad call. I just mind the same bad call.
Right. Hey, has there been any breaking news today on the Pac-12 media days?
Yeah, we've had a guest on it. We've talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it's probably riveting out there, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what, we're about to go out there, so don't go anywhere. Don't get in that pontoon boat yet.
All right. That's right. Hey, Paul, but I got to give you credit, man. You've been very supportive and objective about the Big Ten. I'm actually pleasantly surprised you've been as supportive of the moves of the Big Ten as you have been.
Yeah, I wondered why I had been summoned to the conference office tomorrow morning. You think that has anything to do with it?
Shaky invites you to breakfast?
Well, no, he doesn't care. I mean, when you're the king, you're not concerned about what all the subjects are doing.
Right. I think Shaky's shaking in his boots a little bit about that contract.
Well,
I learned,
and I just heard Matt Hayes from the other day, and I like Matt, but it just seems like everybody's reading from the same hymnal, aren't they?
Yeah. Old Matt Hayes. I listened. He was on with Peter Burns, wasn't
right.
he?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I called in and ripped Matt Hayes about that. Isn't that the same Matt Hayes as it with the Funk Sporting News? Did he run that in the ground?
I'm not going to blame Matt for it, but yeah, he was their lead sports columnist.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all you need to say. But my point is he just jumped on what was the hot, you know, like you said, he just jumped on what was what everybody else was saying. He just wanted to be a critic of it, you know. He didn't want to give Warren any credit at all, and that's typical sports writer right there.
But my argument on Warren, and listen, it's not like I haven't been critical of him for years, but the more I think about Warren, I think I blamed him when I should have been blaming that buffoon who was the University of Michigan president, who I think had more to do. More to do with shutting down that member, the same guy who was either an immunologist or an epidemiologist, and he had to be telling him what to do. And then they ran that clown out because he was writing threatening letters to a subordinate. Did you read about that?
Yeah, I skimmed it. I just caught a little bit of it, but you're right. Warren got caught up. I think the Indiana governor or somebody.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, giving him a hard time too.
Well,
you know, right.
Hey, but when he reports to those guys, he doesn't report to Gene Smith. They work collectively. But those presidents hire and fire, and I think he made a terrible mistake. But to me, I mean, he's not the most artful communicator. But that has nothing to do with whether the Big Ten has come back from the dead. And if you don't recognize that, then you're not being honest.
Right. And you may not like the behind-the-scenes tactics, but like you said, whether or not you believe Sankey answered the phone or whether or not Warren answered the phone, they took the call.
It doesn't matter.
And they made the decision.
I was with somebody the other day, and I was talking about Warren. And the guy said, oh, yeah, he was at an Adele concert in London at the time. Who cares?
He
obviously, walked out long enough to say, yeah, we'll take you guys. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are.
Oh, hell, a lot of my biggest orders, Paul, have come at night via an email. You know, I'm not worrying about work, and I'll get an email and say, hey, we're ready to go tomorrow. You know, so that's not unusual in today's communication the way we communicate today. I mean, the guy knows he's always got it. He's a cell phone call away. That's all that matters. You know, so people that want to critique him for that, I mean, get a life. Don't they go out to dinner every once in a while and go to a movie? I mean, yeah, these guys like Matt Hayes, they just want to jump on anything they can jump on because they want to stay relevant. That's the only way they think they can. But anyway, Paul, I appreciate it, but if you get an urge, man, catch that next flight out, and we'll go out on the boat tomorrow.
Okay, man, that would be a great Saturday. Can you imagine being on a peaceful lake north of Columbus, Ohio, listening to Jeff from Columbus talk about how great the Buckeyes are going to be? That's my idea of a serene Saturday afternoon in late summer. We'll take a break. James Crepea is next from PAC 8, 9, or 10 Media Days.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. James Crepea joining us from the Oregonian. Once covered Auburn, and now covers Oregon, and covering also Pac whatever media days. James, thanks for the time. Is it still the Pac-12?
I mean, in name only, isn't it, Paul? I mean, I guess, you know, while they're still here, while the dinner's still getting cold for UCLA and USC, or it's getting warm somewhere else, I guess it's still, the Pac-12. I guess they still have the trademarks, but in my question to the commissioner this morning, I refer to them as the Pac-10, because as far as I'm concerned, that's what's bound together, going forward.
Listen, commissioners can often make reputations. It's hard to completely make a fool out of yourself at media days, although I think most agree that Jim Phillips did last week at the ACC. How did the new commissioner out there do, considering he had been a big talker during the talking season, but how did he handle the moment today, considering there are a lot of serious questions?
I thought, as a whole, given the precarious position he's in, right, where he can't come out, if he doesn't have the ability to come out and make some major landmark news announcement or address a major positive uplifting announcement, when you're in that spot, you're already kind of grading on a curve. So call that what it is. Do I think he did better than Jim Phillips in that speech? And I watched that last week. Yes, I did think that George Kloiafta handled things better and a bit more frankly and directly in his own opening remarks than Jim Phillips did. Having said that, not everything was great. Yeah, he took a shot at the Big 12 there, and he talked. On one hand, he talked about collegiality, and then he took a shot at the Big 12 because he then said, "Well, probably wasn't the most collegial thing I did, but that was the conference that was lobbing every which grenade at us to try and destabilize us over the last month. So, yeah, I'm going to punch back here or there, and I think that helps for his base, for his presidents and chancellors and ADs, who, again, at least for the next 2 years, are bound together. So I think that was good. Where I think he came up short a bit is not just because I happen to ask the question, but there are going to be others and plenty of others who will over the next couple of years, is, well, what about playoff access? And how are you going to try to convince Kevin Warren and Greg Sankey of the Big Ten and SEC that this conference with 10 members is still of value and of value enough to be worth any access at all and any cut of the revenue from the playoff at all starting in 2026 going forward? Because if they're unable to convey that, then we can all go home in terms of from the league's perspective. If any league doesn't have access to the postseason, then the league will cease to exist, whether that's the Pac-12 or Big 12 or one of the G5 conferences, whoever it is. If they don't have access to the playoffs starting in 26, then it doesn't matter who they're aligned with.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
James, it's forgetting the rhetoric that we hear at things like this, but in terms of what you think is really going on relating to Oregon, Washington, or especially, what's been going on and what do you think happens next in the world of expansion, assuming anything does?
What I know is going on so far, not just because people told me, but because I have certain documents so far, and hopefully will be coming into possession of several more, is, as you would expect, after the news on June 30th and July 1st, that there were many the meeting at Oregon specifically, and I'm sure, quite frankly, any school in the league would be remiss if there weren't. And not just that day, the league had a meeting with presidents and ADs and et cetera, of course. And then obviously with coaches, sure. But I'm talking about internally, without the conference. I'm talking about presidents and ADs and general counsel's office meeting. That's documented. And like I say, I won't be alone in having that. So that I know has occurred and will probably continue to occur. And like I say, everybody should be doing that now. And across college sports, not just for Oregon, Washington, or the remaining 10 schools in the Pac-12, everybody should be doing that. If you're not in the Big Ten of the SEC right now, you should be having those conversations. But these were very specific. Every which nature of conversation, obviously that remains to be seen. What do I think will eventually get there? I think right now everybody is in the information gathering stage. It's not a satisfying answer, Paul, I admit. But I think the first thing is what is the Big Ten deal? That's a first major domino. The second domino becomes, even when the Pac-12 gets out of its exclusive window to negotiate with ESPN, what is the actual market value then at that point for this league's media rights? Until you know what the whole number is, how you chop up the pie and if there's unequal revenue streams and how you go about doing it, if you award it based on television games on a national scale versus on the conference network, all those are conversations that come after you even know what the number is. And if the number isn't even close to big enough at all, well, then obviously we're thrown into the HOV lane in terms of further discussions about realignment potentially. But I think now, like I say, it's an unsatisfying answer, especially for Oregon fans. Many of the Oregon fans, at least engaged with me over the last month, they've wanted to join the Big Ten before even USC and UCLA left to join the Big Ten. So I'm not saying everybody, I'm painting with a broad brush, but many of the fans want that to be the end result. And I think that very well could be what ends up happening. But I don't think that's something that's going to happen in the next 3, 6, or even 9 months or a year.
James, another new coach. It seems like that isn't an uncommon phrase at Oregon. Getting ready to take on Georgia in the opening game. How is that going with Dan Lanning? And what are the real expectations for this season?
Dan's brought a lot of energy himself. And look, Mario Cristobal is a high-energy guy. So, you know, they're cut from the same overall cloth. Yes, there is obviously an age difference between the two of them. There's an age difference between Dan's staff and Mario's staff. But they do things similarly because, obviously, they both work with Kirby Smart and with Nick Saban. So, yes, they know how to run the program. Now, this is Dan's first time doing it. Mario had done it previously before and obviously then went to Alabama and things in between. Here, it's a different energy. It's definitely a different enthusiasm. It's probably going to instill, not just because he's a defensive coach and Tosh Lupoi maybe end up being a fine defensive coordinator for Oregon, but that's an area that had been lacking, you know, had lost a bit of its way, had lost a bit of an identity defensively, even with a top five pick and, you know, a great player in Kayvon Thibodeau the past couple of years. You know, they still had the fewest sacks in 20 plus years since it became an official statistic for the NCAA, and that was with arguably one of the top two pass rushers in the country last season. So, yeah, they need to reinstill an attacking mentality on defense. And when you have the defensive coordinator from the reigning national champions who helped run the show for one of the elite defenses in college football the past 3 years, combined with the staff that he's assembled, yeah, it's brought a lot of optimism about, you know, the recruiting trail, about how things will be done defensively in particular. And offensively, obviously, they always feel pretty good in general, but I think they like the idea that things are probably going to get opened up a little bit more. So having said that, Paul, what is the expectations for this season? Most fans, again, I'm not one to just lob it out there. I'm going by what, you know, I let the masses kind of tell me a little. You saw in the preseason media poll here in the conference, they were picked second overall but had fewer votes to win the league than third place USC. Their conference schedule by not playing USC during the season is favorable in that light. Obviously, both still have to play Utah. And opening with Georgia is obviously rather monumental. But most fans here, they're looking at, you know, doomsday in their mind is like 8-4. I think realistically, most are kind of set on 9-3 or 10-2. And most Oregon fans, not just because they're fans of their team, they really believe that this is a team who's going to at least contend for and get into the conference championship game, particularly now that they're in a divisionless format. You don't, quote-unquote, have to win the division in order to get there. Yeah, I think most Ducks fans really believe this team's going to get to Vegas for the championship game.
Well, that is interesting. Great to reconnect with you after all these years. James, thank you for the time and really a great report. And we're sorry you had to endure the media days. I'm just now recovering from a week ago.
Well, I appreciate it, Paul. Always great talking with you, and certainly look forward to connecting again in the future.
Can't wait. We will talk to James soon, of course, with Georgia taking on Oregon in the opening game. James Krepia joining us from the Oregonian. Your phone call is right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Dave is up next as we continue. It is Friday. What do you got, Dave?
Hey, man, did I hear you the other day saying that you liked oysters on the hot on the half shell?
I don't like do it as a regular basis, but when I'm in, you know, New Orleans or someplace like that, I'm going to dig into some oysters.
Oh gosh, they're so good. I've made myself sick on them before
eating too many of them. You can't eat too many. That is a fact.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I was sick for several days after. I think it was more than a dozen. But anyway, do you like canned fish?
Like tuna fish or something like that?
Yeah, fish in a can, like sardines and stuff like that.
No, I mean, I grew up on tuna fish. We were struggling, and tuna fish was a pretty common meal in our house. It always did make me nervous, though, Dave. We had a cat, and I was always worried my mother would absentmindedly get the cat food instead of the tuna fish.
Oh, gosh, that would be bad.
I don't know if they have it down south or not,
but they have canned octopus.
Have you ever had octopus? I have never had octopus.
Oh, man, you ought to try it. It's canned, well, it can be, and it's in sunflower oil. Mm. And it's a lot more tender than you can get a octopus at a fresh fish market.
Right.
One time I bought me an octopus at a fresh food market, and I said, I'll take that thing if you saw it in half. So they're willing to do it. And so I took that thing home, and I put it on the grill, and I rained it. It was so tough. But anyway, back on the oysters, a rich guy I was doing work for, I was wiring his mansion, had me shipped 2 dozen oysters from the East Coast.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, they're a lot better than you can get here, that's for sure. And that's how I got sick on them.
Well, Dave, you be careful on those oysters, okay? Miss Pat is up next.
Hello, Paul, and yuck on octopus. Ah. Yeah. Anyway.
Not high on my list of things I need to do.
No, me either. I wanted your thoughts on Brian Harsin from Media Days. He sounded really good. And do you think that he has kind of gotten in line, the powers that be? What do you think?
No, I don't think anything has changed. I just think he wanted to deliver that message to let people know that he didn't appreciate what they tried to do. I think he wanted to emphasize how wrong they were. And I don't think he gained a lot of respect, I will tell you that, being there. Is it going to change his position at Auburn? No. The same people are in charge.
Right. Unfortunately, yes. Well, what do you think about the upcoming season? I don't know anything.
Well, I feel pretty good about it. I think Auburn right now will do. I mean, I think they'll do a little bit better. I think the predictions are pretty negative, and I like their chances of being competitive. But there's so many either or games. The thing I like the most about Auburn's schedule is that they have two manageable games early on to get the quarterback situation worked out before they have a home game against Penn State. And I never trust Penn State. I think Auburn should win that game.
Oh, well, that's good. You always know, and I don't, so that is good. I wanted to tell you I've missed you, and I'm so glad you're back and everything.
Well, thank you, Pat. Really appreciate your call. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Ball, put up that South Carolina schedule up there, and I'm going to tell you how many games we're going to win, and we are going to beat Clemson.
Yeah, you said that yesterday, and I thought you were drunk. Have you sobered up, Cat Daddy, or are you still sipping that Palmetto?
Well, now, Mr. Feinbaum, I can't deny or tell you I am. But I can tell you something. South Carolina is coming back, and our Gamecocks are going to change the
You're going to beat a team that absolutely took you apart last year at your place, limb by limb. I'd like you to explain that, Cat Daddy.
Well, now, I can't explain that. That was the first year that Shane was coaching us. But things are changing, fine, Bob. You know that. You see all that's going on in the college football world. And I'm going to tell you something. South Carolina is, well, let me equate it to what happened during the Battle of Japan.
Oh, okay.
When we had Pearl Harbor, and they said, America, we are waking up a sleeping giant.
Give this man another drink, will you?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.